It's Activate Sunday this Sunday, and it's all about our NGOs, MPOs, community development projects, all the things that we as a church either run or support, and it's a great privilege to showcase all these various projects. But the reason we showcase them is not so much that you may know about it, but it's an opportunity for you to get involved, to be quite frank. That's why we do what we do today. It's an opportunity for all of us to get involved. The amazing thing about God is that God is a giver. Who of you have noticed that? You know, He's given us life. We messed that up. And then He gave His Son to redeem us, to buy us back, to restore us again. And then He blessed us with His Holy Spirit. He gave everything. You know, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God gave everything. We worship a giving God. And you know, when we were born again into His family, we bear His name. And He wants us to become like Him, to reflect Him on earth. That's really God's heart. He wants us to not just belong to Him, but to reflect Him in everything that we do and say, because He wants His name to be great on the earth. And that is His purpose. He gave us forgiveness, and He expects us to forgive others also. He says that through His word. He says, listen, I have forgiven you, but I have an expectation that you will also in turn forgive others. And in the same way, God loves us, and He has an expectation that we should also love others. I mean, that's the God that we serve. An awesome, loving God. But so interesting, once a lawyer came to Him to ask Jesus a trick question. What is the greatest commandment? And I think I've preached on it before. And Jesus' response is the obvious one. The first is the greatest, that you must love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. You must worship God with everything that you are. And then Jesus said something profound. He said, equal to this, in the like manner, the same stature, the same value to this first and great commandment, that you must love God with everything, is that you must love your neighbor as yourself. These two has equal value before God, because God is saying something profound. He says, listen here, it is not just enough that you love Me. It's not enough that you'd only love Me. You must love the things that I love. That is worship to Me. Not just that you love Me, but that you love the things that I love, that you love the people that I love. That is the God that we serve, an awesome God, who says, listen, the obvious thing that you worship Me with everything, which we would think is the natural thing to do, is it's great, but it's not enough. You must love the things that I love. Look, God is a giving God, and He wants us to represent Him, to reflect His image and His likeness. He wants the world to see through us who He is, because we bear His name. We are called His children. We are called Christians, the little Christs, the Christ-like ones. God wants us to reflect who He is in everything that we do and say on this earth. We are His ambassadors, His representation on the earth. We are the light in the darkness. There's lots of darkness and evil and despair and hopelessness. But we are meant to represent, to reflect the hope of God's love in this world. That is who the children of God are meant to be. And that is who we are. We are His children, His representatives. And above and over and above the fact that God wants us to reflect His likeness, when we do, God says, I'm going to give you even more. I'm going to bless you even more. Isn't that amazing? God not only expects us to do what He desires, He says that if you do what I desire, I will even bless you more. I mean, it's mind-boggling how God relates to us. I mean, He could expect only from us, but He says, I'm not only expecting from you, I actually want to bless you in your obedience. So God is a giving God. He gives us so much, and He expects us to reflect, reproduce, multiply that what we receive. And then He says, as you do that, I'm going to bless you even more, because I love you more than anything else. That's the God that we serve, you know. And if you talk about giving, you know, even in Scripture, there are three types of giving. And most people talk about that, you know, tithes and offerings and alms. Tithes are really what we do to acknowledge who God is, to acknowledge God's faithfulness, to acknowledge the fact that God is the source of all life, all provision. And through tithing, we acknowledge that fact. Offering is another way of giving, and that is simply offering is something that we give thanks to God. We praise God. We give thanks through the things that we offer to Him. That's what the offering is. And then there's another type of giving, and that's the giving of alms. That is simply giving to the poor, to the needy, and that is meant to reflect Him, to represent Him. So we give to acknowledge God through our tithes, we give through our offering to thanks God, to thank God for His goodness, and then we give to the poor to reflect Him in the midst of the darkness. And that's really where giving comes into our worship on a very practical way. You know, and whenever you talk about giving, the first thought that goes through people's minds is tithing, and then inevitably the debate will come about tithing, whether it's a law or a principle. Now, what do you think? Is tithing a law or is it a principle? Oh dear. That's a difficult question. So what is it? Is it a law or is it a principle? Who says it's a law? Everybody? Oh, there, we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go. Can I have 6? Can I have 6? 6. I've got 6. Do I have 7? There's got 7. I have 7. Anybody? Anybody? 7? 7. Okay. Who says it's a principle? Woo! It's a principle. Well, you know what is so funny? Depending on your definition, if it's a law, then we don't need to apply it by it anymore because we're under grace, and if it's so we don't need to give at all. And if it's a principle, then you know what? You don't have to give either because it doesn't really matter what you give. It's very interesting. Well, you know what? Depending on your definition, I don't believe it's neither of the two. I believe it's a spiritual truth. And the law is only a description of the truth. If you think about it, you know, there's a thing called gravity. Have you heard of that before? Now, what is gravity? Is it a law or a principle? Who says gravity is a law? Okay, lots of people. Who says gravity is a principle? Why is there such an indiscrepancy here? I mean, didn't we just talk about a previous truth and then every few people said it's a law? And everybody said it's a principle, and now we talk about another truth, and everybody says it's a law and it's not a principle. Strange, isn't it, eh? Well, you know what the law is? The law is simply a description of the truth. The truth is there's this thing called gravity. It's going to pull you down if you jump. What's going to happen if I drop this? Okay, what is the law of gravity? It describes what's going to happen when I leave this thing. That's what the law is. It's not a principle. A principle is, well, you know, it all depends. It depends the way I leave the thing or how I feel when I leave the thing. It doesn't matter. It happens. It's the truth. The law is simply a description of the truth. And you know what? Most laws isn't a description, but it's not the full meaning of the truth. It's simply a description of how the truth operates. And just because you choose not to live according to the description of the truth, it doesn't change the truth. I mean, we can try this again. It doesn't really matter if you think it's only a principle and it only applies sometimes. I don't know. We can try this again. When does the principle not apply to the truth? I haven't seen anything change yet. But anyway, you know, that is what truth is. It doesn't change. The law is only a description of that. And the principle maybe helps us to understand what it's all about, but it's a truth. You know, so too is tithing. It's a truth. You know, murder. What is murder? Do not murder. Is it a law or a principle? Or is it a truth? I mean, what about adultery? What about adultery? Is that a principle? It depends how you feel. It depends on the situation. It depends whether your wife is faithful or not, whether she's fat or skinny, whether you had an argument or not. It's just a principle after all, isn't it? Or is it a law?
Well, if it's a law, we're under grace. We're no longer the law. So you know what? That also depends. Because it's under grace. So it doesn't really matter, does it? Because we're under grace. We're not under the law anymore. You know, it's so fascinating. When Jesus was asked about this question, is it a law or a principle? Jesus said, you know what the law says? You shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you have already committed adultery. So Jesus was talking about the truth. He wasn't talking about the principle or about the law. He was just kind of saying, you know what? The law is only a description of the truth. And it's only a partial description. It's meant to be a guideline. So don't hold on to this guideline as if this is all what it is. It's something far greater. It's like murder. It's not just whether you physically kill somebody, but if you hate somebody in your heart, you know what? You've already broken the truth. And that is what truth is. The law is just a description of the reality of it. The law is normally not just the boundaries, but it's just a description of it. And the point that I'm trying to make is that giving is a truth. It's not a law. It's not a principle. It's a truth. It's a spiritual truth. That is who God is. He is a giver. It's a truth. And God expects us to live life that reflects that act of giving. You know, as a young intern, at church, I learned that lesson. I remember starting off here, and I just came back from YWAM, and I started my internship at church, and I had no money. And then my parents, they wanted to support me. While I was in YWAM, they gave me 300 rand a month for pocket money. And I had to live off my means that I saved when I was in the military. I saved a lot of money because I didn't drink or womanize or do anything. So I saved a lot of money. And while I was in YWAM, I spent all that money in supporting myself. And my parents only paid me 300 rand a month pocket money. And then I said, now I'm going to join the church full time. And the first thing my parents asked, so what are they going to pay you? I said, no, nothing. And then I was very nervous. And then you had that whole debate about who's going to provide, na, 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 na. And then they said, no, okay, well, when they concluded to the fact that the church is not going to pay me and I'm not concerned about it, they will give me money. So I remember this conversation over a payphone with my dad as time was running out. And I was saying, you know, Dad, my money is running out. I don't have enough to continue this conversation. But please, I want you to only continue to give me 300 rand a month. Because I believe God is faithful and He will provide for me. And I want you to only give me 300 rand, not just for my sake, but for your sake as a testimony of God's faithfulness. And then my money ran out and I said, sorry, Dad, I have to go now. So, then my parents gave me 300 rand a month. Now, who of you live in Stellenbosch? How far can you go on 300 rand a month? Okay, and those days it was about, I don't know, 15 years ago, all right, it was a bit cheaper, okay? Rent in a room, a very small room, would have cost you around about 1,000 rand a month, okay? And then food, you know, was about 300. You could get by with about 300 if you lived on baked beans. So you could survive on that. And then, you know, you still had your travel and your all the other stuff. So you needed at least about 1,500. I had 300. And then, knowing this truth, I also tithed from that 300 and I gave offerings. So, you know what? You ended up around about 250. But the amazing thing was, despite the fact that I only had 250 or 300, I applied the truth in my life. And guess what happened? Within the first 3 weeks, I had to follow up a request of one of my friends to investigate. She worked at the Marty Beisingsdienst. What do they call themselves? But anyway, where they supply accommodation to students. And she had a phone call of somebody that said they have a room available But she couldn't find out the amount. It didn't make sense. So I went to this house. I said, listen, yeah, I'm actually not from the Marty Payson, but I'm just here to inquire about this room that you have available. And it was an old gentleman in his 80s. He says, ja, my seun, ek het 'n kamer beskikbaar vir R100 a maand. I said, you must probably mean R100 a week. He said, no, R100 a month. I said, sir, I'll take that one. You know, it's amazing how God provides, you know, even in your lack. And then I can tell testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness. And you know what? I got back far more than the $30 that I acknowledged God with. I got back far more than the $50 that it cost me to worship God. You understand what I mean? God is an awesome God. He's a giver. And he wants us to reflect him. And it's amazing to see how faithful God is when we apply the truth in faith. Because it's just a spiritual truth. It works. You know, whether you believe in it or not, it works. It's like God. You know, whether you believe in existing or not, it doesn't matter. He still exists. You know, it's like Matthew chapter 6. We all know that scripture that says, you do not worry. It says here in Matthew chapter 6. From verse 25, it says, therefore, I'm reading here from the New King James. I think that's the NIV behind me. But therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body not more than clothing? And then it continues and then it ends off by saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We all know that scripture, right? You know which one it is. Well, you know, again, it starts off with my favorite word, therefore. You know what the therefore means? Who of you know it by now? Therefore points to a promise of the premise. Okay? Or the premise of the promise, sorry. Okay. The therefore, do not worry about life, what you will eat, what you will drink, because God knows about these things and he will provide for you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. That is the promise. Do not worry about life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. God knows it and he will provide for it. That's the promise. So what is the premise of the promise? Who of you know what that is? Anybody? You know what is verse 24? Before verse 25? It's fascinating. Let's read verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. They will either hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I say to you, in other words, listen here, you got to choose who you're going to put your faith, your trust in. And if you choose God, you don't have to worry about life. It's fascinating. The therefores, I love them. Study them in the scripture, you'll be amazed. But God is saying, listen, you've got to choose who you're going to put your trust in, who you're going to acknowledge as your source. And if you acknowledge me, then you don't have to worry. If you acknowledge money, then, well, you got to worry. We all know those worries. But anyway, giving is a truth, and there is a consequence to that. Giving is a truth, and there's a consequence. There is a specific design in giving. There is a purpose in giving. God wants us to reflect him, but he also wants us to learn who he is, his character, his nature, and that's the awesomeness about giving. We receive far more than what we have given. You know, in Genesis, we see here the Lord says to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Leave it, give it away, let go, and follow me. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. You know, blessing over blessing. You know, as you give, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. As a matter of fact, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You know, that was fulfilled in Christ's coming, right? But we are also Abram's children, and scripture says we are still heirs of that very same promise. We are still heirs of that very same promise. And God says something very profoundly. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. But the purpose of that blessing is that you will be a blessing. That's the purpose of me blessing you. I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing, so that you can be a conduit, so that the things that I bless you with, that you can actually share that with the world around you. That's really God's heart behind blessing us. And today, you know what? Through faith, we have become heirs to that promise. Today is about giving, not specifically to the church, but to the poor. That's what today is about. It's about giving to the poor. That third manner of giving, the third purpose of giving, to reflect Him. That's why we give to the poor. It's another spiritual truth. You know, here's another one for you. Another spiritual truth. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, it says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed. I mean, that scripture changed my life. For the first six years of my ministry, I served in Prochorus, serving the poor. And boy, I can tell you, God has repaid. God has repaid. Every ounce of effort, of perseverance, of love, of money, of tears, of suffering for the poor. God has blessed me. He has repaid with interest. With interest. I started with 300 rand from my parents. Somebody blessed me with a flat in Stellenbosch, fully paid. Then somebody blessed me with a bucky. Second hand, but nevertheless, it worked. Fully paid. And all that I can say is, you know what? If you lend to the poor or you give to the poor, you lend to God. And He will repay you. It's a spiritual truth. It's not a principle. It's not a law. It's just the truth. So whoever gives to the poor lends to God, and He will repay you. He's no man's debtor. He is no man's debtor. And that's the awesome thing about giving to the poor. He will repay you. And it's not restricted to money. It's about giving of yourself, of your time, of your skills, of your prayers, of your support, of your service. And so today we are here to appeal to you to give to the poor, not just your money, but please don't misunderstand us. It's about you. It's about your ability, your love, your prayer, your support, your talents. You know, some of these projects needs you more than they need your money. Those little children, yes, we need money, but we need people that will actually parent and father them and love them and mentor them and disciple them more than we need more money. So today is really an appeal about what has God blessed you with? I mean, you're the conduit of amazing blessing, richness, life, hope. You have hope. As you sit here today, you have hope. You wake up in the morning and you see future. You know what the poor sees? They have lost hope. They do not dream about who they're going to become or who their children will be. They pray for their next meal. We have hope. We have aspiration. We have the knowledge of God, the love of God. You know, nothing is impossible. We've got time, we've got abilities, intelligence, education. We can read, we can write. There's so many things that we have been blessed with. It is a blessing. The home in which you were born in. You were not born in India amongst the poor. God blessed you. And we have just so much that we can give. And God blessed us specifically so that we can do that. So that we can reach out to those who do not have anything and give them so that they can know who God is. Really, that's what it's all about. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 6 to 15. And you can leave that scripture there if you're doing the slides. You know, whatever you have or whoever you are, you know, that's an awesome blessing that God has given you. And God wants us to be generous with what we have received and with whom we have become. He talks about generosity. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, isn't that amazing? Because the truth about giving is the attitude in which we give. That's the truth about giving. It's the attitude in which we give that makes the difference. Because it is meant to reflect God. We have received so much and we freely give it with a joy. To share with those who do not have, because we understand this is who God is. This is a reflection. This is going to paint a picture, an image, a likeness of God. And it's going to change people. So when we give and how we give, that is meant to reflect God. And then it continues here in verse 8. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Again, to bless you. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is going to bless you so that you can be ready and able to do all good work. I mean, that's why he wants to bless. That's why you're already blessed, in case you've wondered. That's why you're already blessed. That is why you're not on the untouchable class in India. You are here today and you're sitting in this building and we are all blessed. And God is blessing us because he wants us to be ready for all work. And he says here, as it is written, verse 9, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. For you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I mean, isn't that amazing? It says, listen here, I'm going to bless you in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. We are God's conduits. Do you get the truth? We are God's conduits. God wants to make us rich in every way so that we are able to be generous on every occasion. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The purpose of God's grace and favor in our lives is that we may abound in every good work. I mean, that's the God that we serve. And in verse 10, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the tents of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Rich in every way, not just money, but time, ability, talent, service, opportunity. And why does God want us to be generous on every occasion? Why does he want us to be generous? Not just reflecting, but listen to this. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Your generosity will result in something. Your giving of everything that you have received, your giving of yourself will result in something. The purpose of our giving is thanksgiving to God. Those who receive our gifts, our love, our service, our ability, our talents, you know what it will result in? It will result in their worshiping God. They're going to say, God is amazing. I have prayed for this meal. I have no food. I haven't eaten for 3 days. And here comes somebody and blesses me with a month's worth of food. I'm going to say amazing things about God. I serve an awesome God. He is so faithful. Thank you, God. For loving, for hearing, for caring about me. That is why we're meant to give. Our giving reflects God and God is glorified. Verse 12, it says, this service
that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everybody else. Because of our giving, it will result in the overflowing of many expressions of thanks to God. And also, men will praise God. Is that not amazing? For the obedience of what? The obedience of the truth of giving. The obedience of, listen, I've blessed you, now I want you to bless others. That accompanies our confession of the gospel of Christ. In other words, our giving opens up the door, the platform that we can share about God's love. And that results in praise and worship to God. And not only that, in their prayers, verse 14. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of this surprising grace which God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. You see, it is a cycle. It is a cycle in which God is glorified and exalted, worshiped and praised. It is a cycle. God blesses us. He gives to us money, ability, talents, opportunity, revelation, life. He gives to us. He gives to us. Then God is reflected and glorified in our giving of that. Okay? As we give that, what we receive from Him, as we do that, God is reflected and glorified in that act of giving. The recipients of that gifts, they thank and praise God. God is glorified not just through our giving, but through those who receive it. And then they ask in turn for God to bless us again. You see, we receive something, we give it to the poor receives it, God is glorified in that, and then they pray for this guy that gave them something. They say, God, please bless this guy for giving me something. And then what does God do? He responds to that prayer and He blesses you more. So that tomorrow you have again to give, even more than what you had before. I mean, that's the cycle. And God is glorified through this whole process. We receive, we thank God, we give, God is glorified. They receive, God is glorified. They pray to God, which is glorifying to God. And then God blesses us more. And God is just glorified through this whole process of we just giving, being a conduit continually of sharing what we have received. And then He says, He will enlarge the harvest of our righteousness. I mean, that is the truth of giving. In this cycle, God is glorified every time, in every step. And we reap the benefits. We reap the benefits for eternity. And that is the truth. And my time is up. So that is all that I can share about giving. And that is what today is about. So my altar call is simply this. Go and look at the stores and ask what they are doing and see how you can give of yourself, of your time, your ability, your money, your talents, your service, whatever God has blessed you with as you go to these people and you connect with these amazing people that is laying down their life to serve. Just ask God, how can I contribute to what they are doing? And as you do that, God is going to bless you. And He's going to be glorified. And people everywhere will worship God because He's awesome. Amen? Okay, let us pray. Father, we want to thank You for giving so much to us, God. We pray that we will understand that You will open our eyes to see how much You love us and to see how much You have given us and to understand that the purpose of us receiving so much. And God, we have to acknowledge, Lord, that as we are here today, God, we have received a lot. that we will understand that the purpose of receiving so much, God, is that we may reflect you in the giving of that. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes as we walk around, Lord, and connect with these projects. And as we leave this place, God, I pray that you will open our eyes to see the awesome opportunity we have to be like you in this world. And God, I pray that as we give of ourselves, Lord, and as each and every person, God, leaves this place, and I trust, God, that as we connect with these people and these stalls and these opportunities, we will see it as an opportunity to give of ourselves so that you can be glorified, Lord. I pray that as we give, Lord, that you will bless, God. I know you're going to do that anyway, God, but I pray that you will bless over and above, God, that you will open our eyes with the understanding of how much you love us and how much you want us, God, to reflect you, and how much you want to bless us as we reflect you. You just want to bless us, God, so that those who have nothing, God, can meet with you, God. You have an affirmative agenda. And God, we want to be part of that agenda, to see the lost come to know you, to see the poor, God, being fed, the widows being taken care of, God, the marginalized, Lord, being exalted, Lord, those who have no voice to be heard, God, those, Lord, who are broken, God, to be healed. God, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see these opportunities and that you may be glorified. God, we pray for songs of worship and praise to rise up everywhere in this world around us as people's lives are changed by people like us. We thank you for that. And just as you're sitting here this morning with your eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity, just in your own words, just to thank God for what he has given you. Just to thank him for the homes that you grew up in, the opportunities that you were granted, the things that you were blessed with, and that you continually receive today just to be employed in this nation. Just thank him in your own words, just where you're at. Just take a moment in your own hearts, your own words. Just thank God.